This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald.
I'm Ramya Amadhin, and this is Kelly and Ramya. Been telling you all week about the AMI app, and that's because there's so many awesome things on there. The on-demand content feels like it's endless, and it is, of course, all available with Describe Video and closed captioning for your access needs. This AMI app you can find on the App Store on your Apple products or on the Google Play Store via your Android devices, and you can check it out at your own time. Just type in AMI and you'll download and stream content as you please. I'm Ramya Amadhin. Thanks for joining us here on Kelly & Company on a Friday afternoon. Let's get to our app update with John Beeler.
This is The App Show, unlocking software secrets for smartphones, tablets, TVs, and more.
John, I hope you've been having a good week. It's really nice to catch up with you. And I want to talk about the first thing on your list, which is Samsung's repair mode. So this lets technicians look at your phone and not your data. Tell us more about this one.
Yeah, this is a really interesting option that Samsung has just released for the Samsung S21 series of phones. And right now it's only in Korea, but they are launching it wider and also for more devices very soon. But what you do is, if you're having a problem with your phone and you need to send it in, typically you would have to, you know, either send it in as is with all your data, your photos, anything personal on it, and the technicians would have access to everything. This is assuming you can even get into your phone, because sometimes if you're sending it in, it's because you can't. But if you do have the ability to get into your settings on your phone, you can turn on repair mode. And essentially what it does is it creates like a guest account that the technician uses that isolates all of your personal stuff. Mm. And it's locked away until you re-authenticate it. So it's a good way to send in a device and not have to worry about a technician or someone along that process looking at your stuff. And there's been a number of fairly well popularized incidents where this has happened with Android and Apple devices, where the technicians got a little nosy and found some photos or something that was, you know, not of a very personal nature, and some of that information got out because those people were not good people. And yeah. So it's always scary for me to hand over a device, even to a friend.
Oh, yeah.
Because you just never know what they're going to press or look at or launch and that kind of thing. So this makes, I think, Samsung users especially should feel really good about this option. And I hope Apple and other companies start offering this feature as well.
Now, do you know if this includes kind of a do not disturb element as well, like hiding notifications, text messages that might come in, et cetera, or is it just locking away private stuff?
I think it essentially turns your phone into like a brand new phone, essentially. Like it only has the default apps. It only has sort of the stock view of that Samsung phone. Mm-hmm. So presumably those notifications wouldn't be coming through. The other thing you might want to do before you were to send in your device is take your SIM card out as well. So
right.
Then those notifications wouldn't happen unless they're online notifications. But presumably they're not going to have Wi-Fi that your phone's compatible with on the other side, unless it's through this repair mode.
Yeah. Okay, that's awesome. I mean, it is way better than actually clearing up your phone completely, like having to reset your phone yourself before letting it go right into repair person's hands. And sometimes it's more than just like, here, take a look at my phone. It can take a day or two or even longer than that when you're getting something repaired. So you never know. Even a couple hours can do some damage if all your information is out there. So that's really interesting.
Yeah, I think it's really cool.
Okay, awesome. Thank you for sharing that one. Now let's move to this next one. A parent has created a smart webcam that detects when his baby is hungry. So some of us are kind of rolling our eyes at this, but give us the info first.
Well, I included this in our list today because I just think, A, it's a great story, and B, it really highlights the fact that this technology is getting so accessible nowadays, and almost anybody can do this. Now, this guy is a bit of a nerd. He's actually kind of infamous on the internet already because he created a webcam system that would track his dog doing their business in his backyard. And then when he had to go out and clean it up, a laser pointer would highlight where the dog did their business. And he taught it through artificial intelligence. And so
that's actually so cool.
It's a great idea.
Yeah.
And so then he and his wife had a new baby, and they were losing a lot of sleep because they were trying to keep on top of the feeding schedules and everything else like that. And so he realized that there's a number of sort of indicators that a baby does to indicate that they're going to be hungry soon before they get to the crying stage. When they get to the crying stage, it's already too late because the baby's upset. They're crying, they're in distress, and they're hungry. So what he did is he actually set up a webcam, and he used some free tools from Google to actually program some machine learning so that it would actually look for certain gestures that his baby would do, like licking their lips, bringing their hands up to their mouth, and a couple other different sort of things that babies do as sort of like indicators that they're hungry. And so then now the system will actually alert him that the baby might be getting hungry. Go take care of it before it wakes up his sleeping wife, who's trying to rest in between everything else. So, and it apparently works pretty good. It's not 100% accurate. And he's also very quick to say that he is still following his doctor's recommendations as far as feeding schedules. He's not just relying on this system. But I think this type of thing is really interesting. For one, he's open sourced the software, and he's also looking like, it sounds like this is getting some interest from some manufacturers, because this would be a really interesting thing to sort of bundle in with a baby monitor, for example, having this kind of software. So this could really change how people deal with, you know, their babies and their feeding schedules, at least.
Well, first of all, I take back all my eye rolling. Okay, this is awesome. And then secondly, yeah, because most of the things that we hear about that are on the market already, like when, because you mentioned what he was doing with his dog, you know, the things that'll alert you that your dog is barking at home, right? Like the remote systems and things. But it's all sound based. But this seems fascinating because the indications are visual, and the machine learning is really an important part of this. Now, Kenny, update things as it goes. Like, that's part of machine learning, right? Like, to keep making the details more and more intricate and accurate.
Absolutely. And okay. I imagine he has to keep updating it anyways as the baby grows, right? As well. So,
the signs,
but it's really interesting. The little video clips that he posted online shows kind of like the facial recognition systems that we've seen in a lot of places, where it's identified the baby, it's identified certain triggers, and it actually pops up on the webcam screen saying, oh, lip smacking, or they refused their pacifier, and rooting and moving their head back and forth to find a food source, and then bringing their fit. Like, it can identify all those things. So presumably, if the child has some other sort of, I guess, in poker terms, a tell, mm-hmm. that they might be hungry, he can program that as well. What was interesting is he literally just set up the camera and had his baby laying there and just filmed a bunch of things. And the baby did all those things very quickly, just sort of as a natural, I'm hungry, let's get this over with kind of thing.
Right.
And that basically was very quick for him to program the system to recognize all these different sort of trigger warnings. And I just think it's great. Like I said, it's not 100% foolproof.
Yeah.
But as you mentioned, you can continue to train it and make it better. And the more training it gets, the better it will get at its accuracy. And then also all this data can be used to help somebody else train their baby monitor as well.
And like you said earlier on, you can utilize this tool along with everything else, right? Their feeding schedules, what do you call it? Just other monitoring situations to kind of continue to keep on top of things, because parenting is hard, especially at that stage. And so I'm really loving this, actually. It sounds really awesome. And I wanted to know, like, how much of a nerd do you have to be to have programmed something like this? Because you said he used the free tools off of Google, right? Google's machine learning to kickstart this stuff.
Yeah, I don't personally know what's involved in programming it.
Like, but how many people get off their couches and are like, let's do this?
Sleep-deprived parents are motivated.
Right.
Yeah, he's apparently using Google's MediaPipe machine learning pipeline to do all this. I think like a lot of these systems, they're using kind of like, you know, a modular scripting approach where you just grab the machine learning that will recognize things and then you assign a name to it. And then you basically teach it that, well, okay, well, that facial gesture, that means they're lip smacking. So that's something we want to track versus, say, a kissy face or some other kind of facial gesture that they would do. And then I think it's just a matter of labeling them and then letting the system identify, you know, repeatedly these types of things. And then you review the footage and you're like, well, yeah, that was one. No, that was one. And then you basically teach it that way. So I think it's a little bit of scripting, a little bit of sort of review analysis of the process. But the thing is, people won't even have to do this because he's already done all the hard work for us.
For real.
For and real. He's sharing it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I love how transparent the stuff is being put out there too. You know, this is how he's doing it, the process, or just the ways that you can utilize this. Because the two examples are so starkly different with the dog, and the baby. So it's pretty awesome. I love too that, you know, you're also showing the machine learning, this is not it. Right. Like this is a different face. This is my baby's good. Right.
Yeah, so. Exactly.
Nice. Okay. So cool. Amazon Drive is shutting down at the end of 2023. Why? It's not doing good?
Well, it sounds like there's not a lot of people using it. And this is really kind of surprising because Amazon, with their Amazon Web Services, is arguably the biggest system in the world where most of the internet runs their backups on and everything else like that. They're basically saying they want to shift their focus to Amazon Photos, which, if you don't know, if you have Amazon Prime, you have unlimited photo storage for free. So you can easily set up the Amazon app on your phone and it will automatically, every time you take a photo, it'll send a backup copy to your Amazon account. Then you can access that from any device. I do that with my stuff. I have a lot of redundant backups that happen. And so it's a little disappointing that this particular option is going away, because I think this is probably one of the better providers to offer this service, just because of their web services history and the fact that most services use their own Amazon servers to back up stuff. So it just means that you're going to have to find something else. Fortunately, we have about a year to deal with that. But I just really like the fact that it was an option that, especially if you're a Prime customer, I think it's included or a certain amount's included as far as storage. So putting all your important documents that you need access to online is a good place to do that. You can also do that with Google. You can do that with Apple and a few other ones. It's unfortunately, there's a kind of a history of backup services going away. A few years ago, I was given a lifetime account for a backup service, and it worked fine for 5 or 6 years, I think. And then they all of a sudden said, well, you know what? We're not going to do this anymore. Huh. So your backups are going to be gone unless you download them yourself. And at that time, I had so much data on that server, which understandably, these things don't scale well in that sense, because everyone's just piling up this digital data somewhere and it grows very quickly. So, and that can be a challenge for these companies to keep on top of, which is probably why Amazon is sort of getting rid of this, because it's essentially a free or a very low cost system for them, but it probably has a lot of maintenance and upkeep for that free service that they're not really monetizing very much off of. So, but you know, it's been around for 11 years. So definitely there's been a lot of people that could have used it. I just don't know if more people used it, if that would have changed the outcome.
Yeah, I wonder that too. But really, it always, for me at least, perspective wise, comes down to money. And if they're not making enough money for the amount of work they're putting in, then that's just what it is. John, thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great. Have a good one.
Thank you. John Beeler of The App Show. He joins us on Fridays for our app update. Always really interesting stuff. Coming up after the break, we're checking in with Sylvie Fiquette for our content Development Specialist Report. We'll be right back.
The Walrus is Canada's conversation, and you're invited to take part. Download AMI's Voices of the Walrus, where professional narrators read selected articles from the magazine. Available wherever you download your AMI podcasts.